is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, your movie money is expendable, especially if you don't have a driver. Plus, if you long for the day when the Rams were playing football in town, you need to know about an event that's happening this weekend. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is at Laguna Seca watching race cars. She'll be back next week. Anything goes today with Jay Campadonia.
A movie about a 24-hour period where people can commit any crime and get away with it might be going down tonight.
Ooh, and he would speak French to you right now if he could. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, we may have found the most talented and the most intolerable athlete in the world.
That's all coming up and a lot more. Let's get started. We can't go to Jennifer right now, so we will go to you, Jay. You have a lot to talk about today, a lot of important stories, and are you talking about a purge?
The Purge. You know this movie where basically the cops and the local government, they look the other way for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to go around to this city and commit any crime you want.
Rape, any crime.
Murder, stealing, loot. It doesn't matter. Arson, it does not matter. 24 hours, and they figure that some of the bad guys are going to kill some of the other bad guys, and you purge the city. Get
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Less expense on the tax coffers.
Exactly. Well, there's some flyers running around Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
Kentucky. And there are flyers all over the city, and they say that a purge is going to happen tonight at 5 o'clock our time until 6:30 a.m.
This is not sanctioned by the local magistrate.
It is not, but they are not laughing. They are taking it very seriously. Social media is going nuts with people in Louisville posting pictures of their guns, posting pictures of them posting with giant shotguns, posing with shotguns. All of these things in preparation for this, because they don't know how many people are going to take this literally.
Well, look, you're talking Louisville and talking about guns, and all the good old boys have guns, too, and they'll be sitting on their porch in a rocking chair or hiding in a tree with their camo on laying down on the roof of their shack.
Exactly.
And you get on their property, and it's blammo time.
It could be very, very deadly in that town tonight. So cops are everywhere. The FBI
Where is it
everywhere.
Again?
Louisville, Kentucky. And so it's really kind of scary. I mean,
the
photos on social media are these guys are not playing around. And like
when
you
is
said,
this supposed to start?
Tonight at 5 p.m. our time.
Oh.
So it'll be 8 p.m. over there.
The idea behind it is like a form of population control.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, not in this case. It's just a bunch of morons, more than likely, trying to start some kind of craze.
Exactly.
Right.
Or maybe it started as a joke.
But
and
the premise is, yes, bad guy kills bad guy, then cops don't have to kill bad guy, so then you have less to pay in tax.
But the collateral damage are the good guys, too.
Exactly.
Who and also do whatever they can to keep alive.
It will be interesting. There's also a second location is the Kentucky State Fair. Might start going down there tonight. So there is some concern. Law enforcement says, okay, look, I think a majority of the people will feel that it's not going to happen.
And,
but
and at a time in this nation this week when there is a heightened tension between the population of certain communities and law enforcement.
Right.
It doesn't bode well for Louisville, I think.
Right. It's a giant city. It's definitely a metropolis, but there are pockets of the community in there that might actually take this a little seriously.
Yeah.
So they've stepped up law enforcement, and you know, hopefully nothing happened, but nobody said race war, right?
Nobody said that. No, nobody said that.
Okay, good.
Cops probably want to walk that fine line, too, of downplaying it. Try not to make too much of it also, because you could build it up to be something that it's
not. Yeah, and hopefully smarter heads will prevail, because when the dumb guys take over, everything goes crazy. And you know what? When the ballot box is open, it seems like the people that take their voting right seriously, they go and they vote. Then there's a percentage of people who don't vote as some sort of protest, and then there's everybody else. And City of Los Angeles is trying to get everybody else to show up to the ballot box, Jay. What do they have in mind?
Phil, I've got a great idea.
What's that?
How about we start a lottery so people who vote can win a prize?
That's an awful idea.
A commission for the Los Angeles City Council voted 3-0 yesterday, saying that they want to explore the idea of starting a lottery for people who vote.
Mm.
So basically, like 23% of the population out here actually goes and takes their voting rights seriously and goes and votes.
Yep.
So they say, okay, look, we want to up that. We want to make it 60 to 70%. So how about we offer prizes and people will just be picked out of a hat?
Yeah.
And then you can win up to 25, 30, 40, 50, 100 grand based on where you're chosen from.
It's my opinion that we're better off without that 40 to 60% of the people who don't vote.
Because they're uninformed and they're uninterested and they're...
Yeah. But here's the problem.
The word is disenfranchised.
Here's the problem. And I spoke with Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti about this on my morning show, and he concurs to a degree. He said that this would basically trivialize the voting process for a lot of people. And I think it would also, if you start doing this lottery thing, all the people that have taken their voting privilege seriously over this time, and you dangle a carrot for everybody else who does not take their voting privilege seriously to come in and vote all of a sudden, I think then you create some animosity, and perhaps the people that you would prefer to come out and vote, the people who have educated themselves about the issues and the candidates, are going to stay home out of protest.
It's kind of like what I used to do in high school on my Scantron test when you used to choose A, B, or C.
Yeah.
I just go A, 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 A.
Now, here's what will happen when you turn this into a lottery. All those people will get a spatula and pull themselves off the couch. They'll come out and they'll come in and they'll get that little pen and they'll mark two or three judges on the ballot. You know, the part that everybody else typically skips.
Right.
And they'll walk out there and say, okay, did I win?
Where's my money?
That's what's going to happen. Cheapening the process. Don't do it. You 3-0 guys who voted to explore this, I just put it on the table for you.
Yes.
It's a bad idea. Don't
do it. Mr. Wesson.
Yeah.
You know, here's a great idea.
Don't make me get angry.
You want to put people in the ballot box or in the voting booth? Get some candidates that are worth voting for.
Watch it completely throw everything off, too, you know? Like, they'd go in there and vote, and then you'd get a total flip around 180 degrees from everybody that's in office now.
Well, the problem is, guys, the people who are worth voting for are too busy to run for office. They're too busy doing good things.
Oh, they're too smart. Oh, okay.
All right. Oh, yeah, but again, I say, this is a topic that can make me angry, and I think it would make a lot of people angry. Just don't go there. Because bad things happen when you get angry. Isn't that right, Jay?
Well, absolutely. It's talked about getting angry. A woman in South Carolina is facing charges right now. She was in a grocery store, Phil, with her family. She's got her husband. She's got her kid. And they're in the bread aisle. And the kids and the husband, they're going kind of crazy. They just moved to South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
So the mom has just had enough. And she starts yelling at the kids. Well, a mother... And the next aisle came over, wanted to see what was going on, the bread brouhaha, if you will, and says, excuse me, miss, you know, you're really shouting loudly and you're using a lot of bad language. Could you tone it down? Well, the woman then turned around and started yelling at her.
No.
Then that woman went and called the cops, says, listen, there's this woman. She's got her family in there. And she says, dare I say it, Phil?
What?
The F word.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
In public?
She has said the F word.
In a grocery store?
In a grocery store, directed at her kids, directed at her husband, and she wants the cops to come down there, so they do, and they arrest the woman. In South Carolina, it is against the law to use any curse word in a state of anger.
And she was angry, all right.
And she was angry.
And what was she angry about again?
She says because her husband dropped a bunch of frozen pizzas on her bread and smashed the bread. And that's what sent her off.
She's wound a little tight, huh?
The woman is so embarrassed about the incident, she's considering moving back to Ohio.
Oh, where times were nice and slow and easy and nothing ever made you mad.
Yeah, well, you know, some lady in the next aisle doesn't stick her nose in her business. That's what happens in Ohio. In South Carolina, everybody's in everybody's business.
Apparently so.
I like that the law is you can only not use curse words in anger. Like if you do it to celebrate or if you're in a good mood, then right. It's okay. You can curse all you want.
Yeah. You drop something on your foot, it's okay.
Or
you
know? In some cases, you're describing what's currently happening. But just to remind everybody, it is in most of Los Angeles County against the law to speak profanely in public. But it
what
the law is routinely ignored.
You ever walk down a street in downtown?
Ever listen to a police officer downtown?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sorry to say, but...
So she's doing court next week.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? Okay. So, Chris, my interest is piqued about this athlete you speak of. Will you speak of this athlete more?
I will.
In detail.
Gentlemen, get ready for this name. Mahiandin Makisi Benabad.
I'm sure that's how he pronounces it.
Say what now?
I won't be saying that twice. 29-year-old French athlete. He's a runner, and he was running in the 3,000-meter steeplechase in Europe. If you don't know what the steeplechase is, that's where you run for 3,000 meters, and you have to jump a hurdle every so many of those meters.
And some of them have water traps on the other side of the hurdle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the horse races?
Exactly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's wild. This guy was leading by like 3 truck lengths, and he decided to take off his shirt, stick it in his mouth and start throwing his hands up in the air to try to pump up the crowd. He's just blowing away the field. And apparently you're not allowed to do that in professional track racing.
He's showboating?
Just a little bit.
And how far ahead was he?
I said 3 truck lengths. I'm going to say if you wanted to put it into feet, maybe 300 feet, maybe 100 yards.
That's a pretty good lead.
Oh, yeah. He was smoking everybody. So at first he receives a yellow card from the judges, but then they decide they're just going to disqualify him.
No.
So he's been disqualified. He was going for his 3rd win in a row.
What country does he run for?
For France.
Is he French?
He's a French guy. This is the same guy, by the way, who a couple of months ago, he shoved a mascot to the ground who was standing in front of him. The mascot,
yes.
The mascot turned out to be a 14-year-old girl in a costume.
Can you describe the costume?
Yeah, I think it was like a tooth. It was like a giant foam tooth, and it was
yes.
like she was pushing dental floss. And
guy's awesome.
After the race, she must have said something to him, and he just two-hand shoves her right to the ground, right to the track.
You know, I love the fact that these guys in track are now getting enough cojones to, like, you know, celebrate like that. You put the celebration in sports, and that's what puts people in the seats.
I disagree.
I agree with you, but don't shove over little girls. That's not celebrating.
Look,
I'm okay with rookies and college athletes celebrating and all of that, but if you're a professional athlete, like these guys in football, it makes me mad. Act like you've been in the end zone before.
Some of them haven't, though, Phil. That's the thing. You only get a handful of touchdowns a year.
I'll cut you some slack if it's your first one.
Do you know what that rush of adrenaline is like when you've just scored a touchdown on the big stage?
Look, I'm sure some people want to, like, shoot off guns when they celebrate, when they score a touchdown.
If they play in Oakland, they probably do.
Yeah, right. Okay. On that note, coming up next here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends, it's time to throw some punches, I think.
Ooh.
I think it is time.
Are we throwing down in here?
I think we're going to throw down next in this studio on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. It's a great day. Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin are here. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund has the day off. She'll be back on Monday. And it's just getting violent out there on several levels, but Some of the people that do these violent things have turned them into games, and it's just hideous. You've heard of this knockout game, right? Do you know what that is? Chris, go ahead and explain. What's the knockout game?
The knockout game is this internet game that was started where the whole idea of it is you catch someone off guard by running up to them and punching them as hard as you can in the face to see if you can knock them out in one punch.
A stranger.
A stranger. Someone that you don't know.
On the sidewalk in a city street, you never know when it's going to happen.
They're completely unexpecting.
Yeah. And it's complete morons that do this.
Right. And in this case, a 34-year-old Brooklyn woman was walking with her sister when a guy walked up and with a single blow knocked her completely unconscious.
You say she's pregnant?
Well, I will now, Phil. Yes, she was 6 months pregnant.
You didn't say
it
already.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't. I was going to save the reveal. But 6 months pregnant, this woman was.
I blew that for you because I knew about this.
Now,
are you showing
at 6 months? Like, is this like, oh, look, there's a pregnant woman. Let me up the ante. Is this what's happening now?
I think it depends on a woman's makeup or biological makeup. Some women show heavily at 6 months and some not so much.
Some show at 3 months.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
and some of them don't show till 8.
What kind of jackass goes and hits a woman like that?
First, there's that.
That's number one.
Pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Hitting anybody that you don't have any reason to hit in the first place.
Right.
And then even if you had a reason to hit, try using your ability to communicate first to resolve things.
I agree.
Right? I mean, there's so many levels of cowardice in this world. We have these guys that spray paint the names of their clubs on innocent buildings. They can't defend themselves, right?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Those poor defenseless buildings.
Raise that to another level. The biggest cowards of all are these guys who drive by houses and start shooting their guns out of their cars.
I agree.
Right?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's the epitome of cowardice, is it not? If you've got some kind of beef that you need to settle, you walk right up to somebody and have a conversation about
like
it.
Like a man.
Yes.
You don't go start knocking pregnant women down.
Well, and this has nothing to do with beef at all. It just has to do with getting some hits on a YouTube page.
Ridiculous.
But there is a small amount of good news. The whole thing was caught on surveillance cameras.
Yeah, good.
And this meathead was captured and charged with assault.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Also, neither the woman nor her child were seriously injured.
All right.
She should be able to get a 2x4 and hit him.
Agreed. Yeah.
Let's run that past the judge.
Oh, hey, let's bring in Herb Wesson. He's got great ideas for LA City Council as far as the lottery goes and voting. Let's bring him in. Maybe we can get him on board. Yeah?
You're calling out Herb Wesson.
I kind of am.
You want to hear another punching story?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So parliament members were meeting in Kiev, Ukraine, when, get ready for these names, Ole Lyashenko and Oleksandr Shevchenko.
That was quite an attempt.
Shevchenko, huh?
It's Shevchenko, actually.
Shevchenko.
Oleksandr Shevchenko. They started arguing about Ukrainian separatists when Shevchenko landed a right hand to Lyashenko's left cheek and knocked him back into the press. Like a boxer on the ropes, kind of. You know, when you get knocked back onto the ropes, the press were actually supporting this guy.
He got right back up, right?
No, he looked very dazed and most definitely confused. He got dinged.
Little wobbly?
Big time wobbly. And then he was trying to talk back to the guy as the guy was walking out, and he kept losing his words and sort of staring off into space as his brain stopped connecting neurons together.
He's not speaking English, though.
I don't know what
you don't
language
know what he's saying.
All sounds Greek to me.
I don't think he understands what he was saying at that point.
Did you get the plate on that truck is what he was saying.
Right. I'm assuming it was Ukrainian.
Yeah, right.
Can we post that video or something?
Oh, you know what? Let me see if our web minions are already on top of the case.
I want to check that out.
Looking at the show fun page, and lo and behold, there it is. Politics Ukraine style. Watch this big Russian politician clock a Ukrainian guy with a mouth on him.
And he does. He is instigating the situation, and he's half the size of the guy that ends up punching
him. Well, good for our interns. That's 2 days in a row.
Yeah. They are on top of things. I like that. All right. And, of course, we're on top of things. Shark Week has not yet completed, Jay, has it?
It has not, but an 809-pound tiger shark.
How big?
809 pounds.
Whew.
It's a big boy. 12 foot. It was caught off the coast of Corpus Christi, Texas. But here's the thing. They did a really good thing about this. About the shark. They took it, and instead of having one of those, I'm sure they had the trophy pictures, and they hoist it up, and the guy's there with his, like, fishing rod, and, oh, look what I caught. I'm a badass. They cut it up, and they served 90 Texas homeless people.
Oh.
and they served him a gourmet shark meal.
How about that?
I wonder how shark tastes.
Well, it's good.
Is it?
Here's the thing. I mean, that is good, but restaurants, see, this is how people are celebrating Shark Week. You gave us a good example. Aside from actually watching shark-related programming on the Discovery Channel, apparently a lot of people are participating in eating sharks into extinction.
What?
Or so says the internet. Restaurants are trying to sell as much shark meat as possible, and people are eating it like crazy. A shark conservation expert says, this is not good. Here's a quote. It's opportunistic. Restaurants are using the celebrity of sharkism to sell more tacos than they normally would. So...
That's what you put shark in, taco?
That's how I would eat it, is okay. As a taco, yeah.
The most commonly eaten shark in the U.S. is the shortfin mako, a species that's listed as vulnerable. That's a step above endangered and puts them on par with polar bears. The conservation dude, he has another joke, a quote here. It's a joke. But you wouldn't want to eat polar bear tacos, would you?
I don't know that, sir.
Not during Shark Week, you wouldn't. Of course not.
Maybe during Bear Week.
Yeah, if there were Polar Bear Week, sure. Why not? Oh, by the way, on funnyordie.com, they have a mashup of sharks and Columbo. It's called Shark Lumbo.
Do the sharks have a lazy eye?
Oh,
had to do it. Had to do it.
Come on. Take it easy on that guy. He's dead.
Hey, it's Friday, and the movie companies have a handful of new offerings for you at your local Cineplex. And our movie guy probably hates them all. And we will find out for sure when he joins us live. His name's Michael Strego. He joins us live next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends, and we thank you for tuning in. At As We See It Show is our Twitter account. Go ahead and... leave your comments there. And what do you say we talk movies? Orange County Register and Los Angeles Register movie reviewer Michael Strego joins us live now. And you can read his reviews online at ocregister.com and losangelesregister.com. Michael, I think I know what your favorite movie is for the weekend, but let's hold off on that just for a moment. I want to talk Expendables 3. Pretty much bad reviews from the film critics across the board, but I keep reading fan reviews and moviegoers seem to love it. What do you say?
Well, you know, I haven't read the fan boards on that, but I guess that's the whole reason for these movies to be put out, is that it puts together a whole lot of these dinosaurs who have huge followings, and it gives them just enough screen time and just enough quips and just enough banter with each other to satisfy them. So I guess if they're happy with that, it's like I said, it's like more a project in industrial engineering than it is in movie making. But
Michael, that's so rude. These guys are awesome, and the movies are great too. It's nothing but pure entertainment. It's 2 hours of nothing but guys killing each other and explosions. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but they're not. You know, actually, it would be more fun if it was hilarious. This one is so somber with the, you know, Sly moaning about how, you know, he's looking. You got to look past his guns, and you know, we're all going to end up in the hole with no one to mourn for us. You know, and he's saying this to Jason Statham. You know, Sly is whatever he is, 68 or something. Jason Statham, I keep waiting for him to kind of slap Sly on either side of the face and say, snap out of it. And by the way, I'm only 47.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
You know, the big thing in this movie is like everyone is like either Stallone's age or else in their 20s. So it's like if you're Antonio Banderas and you're 54, or if you're Jason Statham and you're 47, it's like it doesn't matter. You know, you're all part of the Over the Hill gang unless you're part of these young spuds coming up, and those guys are just terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the new
guys. How about that acting what's her name, Ronda Rousey, the MMA champ, the one with the good-looking face, doesn't look like she's ever taken a right cross to the nose?
Yeah.
She's in this movie, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in this movie. She's very impressive when you actually get to see her in a fight, except, you know, they chop up the editing so much, you know, I'd rather actually just watch her in a ring with one of the bad guys in the movie than actually see her in this movie.
Yeah.
In a movie. So, but it's just really, I mean, it just wears you down. I mean, there's some funny stuff in it. I mean, I like the way it's like a rehabilitation school for, you know, for actors who've gone through some scandal or anything. So Wesley Snipes shows up. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and they ask him why he was in jail for 8 years in the movie, and he says tax evasion.
He does?
Oh, that's
awesome.
Great. See, that's hilarious, Michael. You got to give him that one.
I'll give him that. You know, and then he's, you know, naturally, you know, we all love him from Blade. So his thing is he's got to, even though Jason Statham is the knife guy, you know, he's got to go up. They got to decide who's the biggest knife guy.
Yeah, know, who's Mr. got a bigger Blade knife? Or, yeah.
Really, Chris. So it's that kind of thing.
My money's on Snipes.
Yeah.
I gotcha. All right, let's tell you what. Let's move on because there's another movie with a long list of stars. But when you... how often do you see a movie that has two queens in it? Meryl Streep is the queen of the silver screen, and Taylor Swift is the queen of pop music, and they're both in The Giver.
Well, calm down a little bit. I mean, Taylor Swift is in The Giver for maybe 2.5 minutes, and that might be 30 seconds from the side or the back view with before you see her face. I mean, she really has a cameo role. It's a crucial role, which, you know, it's this kind of movie where you don't want to give anything away in case somebody does want to see it because it's like such a forlorn
look. And that's got to be so tough for you as a movie reviewer. Do you ever worry about people to say, okay, gosh, I'm really being a spoiler here by writing this review?
I actually try to write around that plot stuff as much as I can. But you know, I see The Giver as part of this pernicious, you know, part of culture now where we're all supposed to love young adult things. So we're all supposed to love The Fault in Our Stars, or and now this is The Giver is based on this young adult dystopian fantasy. You know, we predated The Hunger Games and all those, but it's actually not as much fun as The Hunger Games because there's no action in it, it takes place in a gray world, and they try to do a kind of Wizard of Oz, Pleasantville thing where the color kind of seeps in, and that's like the most exciting thing about it. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a libertarian and you think that the nanny state is going to take us over and control every aspect of our lives, you can get a real catharsis out of seeing this movie, which takes place in that kind of state. But otherwise, you know, I just felt bad. Jeff Bridges loved this material for some reason, and he plays the title character, the Giver, who carries all the memories of the human race somehow in his mind, and you know, is supposed to transmit this to the next kid, and they're the only two who feel any emotion or I mean, it just, believe me, it's so old so quickly.
Let's do this then. I saved your favorite movie for last, and I am so sure that you love this movie, that you love Let's Be Cops.
Well, you know, thankfully, they did not pre-screen Let's Be Cops. It opened cold Wednesday, and I had lots of other stuff to do besides that. So I didn't do that. But let me tell you something.
What do you have to do? Iron your socks?
It's like a friend of mine in an alternative weekly once invited my wife over to see, and I over to see Lolita, and by the second half hour, he literally set up his ironing board and was doing his socks because the cable version of Lolita was so enthralling. But but let me tell you, I mean, you know, we keep talking about these movies as if they're the only movies out there. You know, you remember Philomena? That wasn't so long ago. That wasn't such a small movie. Steve Coogan produced, starred in it. He's got a hilarious movie out now called Trip to Italy. It's basically just him and another great UK comic, Rob Brydon, kind of taking this trip all up and down the coast of Italy, beautiful spots like Capri, Rome, eating great meals, and completely riffing on anything that comes to their minds. They do a bit on Michael Caine in The Dark Knight Rises and how emotional he is. Each of them dueling improvisation. I'll never, bury another Batman. How many Batmans do you bury? 40.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, and it shifting into this whole incredible thing that no serious critic, unfortunately, ever did about how incomprehensible Christian Bale is as Batman and Tom Hardy is as Bane. I mean, if you see this in an audience, people just go wild. They applaud.
Is that playing at more than a couple of theaters?
Well, no, it's only playing right now at the Landmark, but I hope it'll spread out, and it'd be kind of a film that would have played for years in the old days when we had different screening patterns. It would have stayed one theater and played there for like a whole year.
How about a DVD or Blu-ray mention? The Railway Man, maybe?
Let me give you a couple.
Apparently, no. Okay.
Yeah, right. It's probably about a bunch of actors that nobody's ever heard of.
Oh, come on.
And Michael's going to love it.
Now, which movie was that? I didn't hear what you said because I was starting to talk.
I said The Railway Man, but you.
No, I didn't even see that. But, you know, Robin Williams, got a lot of, you know, coverage. believe so, is this great entertainer. Let me recommend a few of his movies that people probably haven't seen that are terrific movies.
Okay. Oh, yeah, good.
He did The Best of Times in 1986 with Kurt Russell. Pam Reed's in it, Holly Palance. It's written by Ron Shelton, who did White Men Can't Jump and Bull Durham. And it's a hilarious small-town comedy set in Bakersfield.
That's the baseball movie, right?
No, no, it's a football movie. It's about Rob Williams plays the guy who dropped the big pass. It's Kurt Russell, and has waited, you know, years and years to finally replay the game, reorganize the team, and it is hilarious. It's one of his best performances, one of his funniest kind of performances.
What else?
He did a movie called Cadillac Man, too, which people don't remember anymore, where he played the used car salesman who is, held hostage by Tim Robbins. It was one of Tim Robbins' first big movies. So, and that was directed by Roger Donaldson, who gives me another recommendation, because we're talking about Jason Statham and the Expendables franchise. Jason Statham did a great caper movie just a few years back called The Bank Job, which was a real great adult tense thriller, even had a touch of romance in it, and that's the movie that made me think Jason Statham could be the next Steve McQueen. So I'd say see Best of Times and Cadillac Man for Robin Williams, and see The Bank Job for Jason Statham, and you'll have a good time this
weekend. You're saying it's not Statham, because I my whole life I've been saying Statham with a TH, but it's Statham.
We'll have to get we'll look it up afterwards. And get
Michael doesn't know. He's too mainstream.
Let's
Mike
call
doesn't
his mom.
Know anything.
Let's call his mom. All right. One-hour photo wasn't on your list. Come on.
He was good in that, but I get tired of these kind of tour de force movies where you just do one thing constantly really well for 2 hours. I mean, I'd rather actually watch Aladdin again than see that.
Yeah, well, that's something I've seen 100 times. I could watch it another 100. Yeah. Well, Michael Strego, thanks as always. Again, read his reviews online, OCRegister.com and LosAngelesRegister.com. We'll speak with you next week, sir.
Okay.
All right, there he goes. He's our movie guy.
I like that guy, but I don't like his movie choices.
Well, you know what? He's the one that he was talking about where they're riffing on the Batman thing. That sounds fun.
No.
It does sound
sort of
funny.
Stuff that's exploding and guys killing each other and guys riding tanks through city streets
that's
and
good.
Blowing things up.
You like that.
You know
that's
what I watched? You know what I watched last night for the first time in my life?
Oh, God.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, it was a great ride. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And especially for a guy that's in such love with radio, you think I would have seen that sooner. But
I think you would have too.
Yeah. Good movie.
Phenomenal movie.
Hey, we don't have a football team in LA. We may never have a football team in LA. But tomorrow, it's going to feel like the blue and gold is back in town. And that's next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, this is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. And the other day we were having this little are you a Raiders fan or a Rams fan thing. And I think this program came down pretty strongly on the Rams side.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It came down on the anybody but the Raiders side.
Yeah, more or less. But when I was growing up, you know, Roman Gabriel days, Rams all the way. So many great players back in the day. I've got some of their autographs somewhere. And my mom gave me this autograph book to take around to get people to sign it back when I was a Cub Scout. It's a pink autograph book.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
I have the autographs of Rams in my pink autograph book.
You just got me beat up for the next week.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
All right. So it's Rams all the time here. And it may be Rams all over the place. All the time tomorrow, and we want to bring on our next guest to explain. He's the president of the SoCal Rams Booster Club. Who knew that was going on if they weren't already in the Booster Club? Ralph Valdez, El Presidente, sir. Thank you for being on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I got to tell you, we bleed blue and gold in here. Well, not really, because we haven't had a team in Los Angeles for how many years now? But just the same, I mean, you guys are rooting for the team to come here, or are you St. Louis fans?
Well, we are original diehard LA Ram fans from way back. I got members as old as watching the games back in the 50s all the way to now. But we are original LA Ram fans. We support our team no matter where they are, St. Louis, Egypt, Montana, wherever they may end. But we're
the Egypt Rams. The Aswan Rams. Okay, so anyway, so you have people who used to follow them at the Coliseum and also at the old Angel Stadium before it became Edison Field, and then it turned into what it is today. So are you guys hoping for the Rams to come back, or do you even focus on that? Because there's no chance of that happening, right?
Oh, there's a tiny chance of it happening. In my mind, I think it's 100%.
100%? How's that possible?
Well, that's just emotions involved, and then a little bit of stuff that I know that I hear from anonymous callers from St. Louis. No, I'm not going to give no names, but it's about a 70-30 chance that I think they're going to come back.
Phil, did you know we had an insider on the phone?
No.
Awesome.
That is great.
Phil, you remember we did a story a while back. I think the St. Louis Rams owner bought a pretty large chunk of land here in L.A.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Is that some of the inside info that you know of, Ralph?
Yeah, sort of. There's some other people that I know within the organization, without naming names, that I'm getting calls periodically. We've been around for 11 years. It's a family booster club. We have over 500 members. Not only are we the club, we're the biggest Ram club, but there's another club called Ram Central North County.
Yeah.
There's RWO and then an Empire, Rams World Order. You got three in Fresno, Central Valley, Ram Alliance. Then you got another one called Golden Ram.
Well, Fresno makes sense, doesn't it? Because that goes back to who was the quarterback that used to practice by throwing lettuce heads?
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, I know, me too. I lost the guy's name.
That's old salad.
No, he said salad, not corn. It's not shucks anything.
Well, all right.
We do know that. We do know that Henry Ellard is a Fresno resident. We call him the Grasshopper.
The Grasshopper. I love that. Tell me about this big event you're holding tomorrow.
Well, what we're doing, this is our 11th annual picnic. We call it Ramily. Instead of family, we're a big Ramily. And it's going to be at Shabaram Park in Roland Heights from 9 in the morning to 8 at night. We have seven L.A. Ram players are going to come and sign autographs. We have a photo booth. We're going to have food.
Well, seven players. Are these current or players of olden days?
These are ex. It's Leroy Irvin, Clifford Hicks, David Hill, Joe Sweet, Tony Sedejas, Doug Reed, and the other.
Sedejas, he was a kicker, wasn't he?
Yes, and Ron Brown. And then maybe Frank Correll, who was the Super Bowl kicker in that 79
team. Oh, wow.
That's right.
Phil,
wow.
Get your pink diary out and head over.
Yeah, I got to get that thing out. All right, this is Shabaram Park. Where is that again?
Park in Roland Heights from 9 to 8. We invite you guys, if you guys want to come down, because we're going to make it a rally also. Everybody's going to be wearing LA Ram colors. Mm-hmm. And we invited some local radio news stations to come and film us. And we're going to make it a big rally that we want the Rams back home. And I extend an invite to you and your staff to come tomorrow. We'll take care of all your food and drink and just come and hang out.
Well, how nice is that?
That is nice. But, if I want to bring a little something extra to grill, what are you guys short on?
What we're going to do is it's set up. We're going to have marinated chicken or marinated carne asada. If you want to bring whatever, you're welcome to bring whatever you want.
Carne asada. I think we need to balance that out with a little Korean barbecue. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's fine. Not a problem. Whatever you want to bring, just come and have a great time. I guarantee you. We got people coming from Hawaii, Oregon, Arizona, St. Louis, Tennessee.
No kidding.
Texas, all over.
Can I wear my Dallas Cowboys Troy Aikman jersey?
Not if you want to make it out of there.
Are you kidding me? Look,
come on.
Did you hear that deadly silence there from Ralph?
Disbelief.
No, I wouldn't say you wouldn't want to wear that. You know, you're going to be having eggs and water thrown at you all day.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, we found you on the old Facebook. You guys have a Facebook page.
Yes, we do.
And
we have 1,800 followers on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's good. See, and that's enough to get a booster club going. You guys get in the bus and travel around and watch all the games when the Rams get back over here. And I hope they do.
I tell you what, it's a labor of love. I have eight great staff members that help me run the club. I'm just kind of the face of the club, but they do all the behind-the-work scenes, and they do a heck of a job for us. And I can't thank them enough for all the work that they do.
Fantastic. Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to speak to the president of the SoCal Rams Booster Club, Ralph Valdez. Have a great time tomorrow, and we will do our darndest to show up.
Sure. I appreciate you having me on. And like we all say, our motto is Rams for Life. Thank you guys very much for having me.
You got it.
All right. Valdez. I like that guy.
Yeah, me too.
He's passionate.
He is.
They need to think tank on something wild that they can do while the news media is there so it'll spread.
He's one of those guys that viral. He's jocular. He's fun to talk to. But you realize that he could have snapped your neck there a moment ago when you started talking Dallas Cowboys.
I know. He was not very happy with me.
You know, there is a guy that if you've been on the internet for any amount of time, you probably wish you knew who this guy was so you could snap his neck.
Uh-oh.
And tell me about this Ethan Zuckerman, Chris.
He leads the Center for Civic Media at MIT Technical Institute, but he's most known for what he did over 20 years ago, Phil. Ethan wrote the code for the very first pop-up ad.
No!
Yes.
He's the guy?
Come on!
Yeah. Yeah, and not only did he, here's what he says, quote, "Not only did I deploy the first pop-up, I wrote the JavaScript and server Perl to launch it. I am old."
He's coming clean then,
He apologizes. He says, "I'm sorry. Our intentions
it's
were good,
been
I
on
swear.
His conscience all these years.
You know, I had a jerk of the week on Monday. I replaced that jerk of the week. That is the jerk of the
new
week.
New jerk of the week right
yes.
now.
I agree.
Ethan.
Well, it's a good thing they haven't instituted pop-ups on Facebook yet, isn't it?
That's very
because
true.
Because you can get a lot done, and you can figure out a lot of things on Facebook. Isn't that right, Jay?
I've had a lot of social media stories this week, but this one I think really takes the cake. Facebook stalking, Phil. Have you ever heard this? You ever done this?
I don't have a pair of those.
Stalking, STALK?
Stalking.
Oh, okay.
So what you do is you go to a Facebook page and you research the person, you read all their posts, and you see all the photos. You basically find out who this person is. Well, one woman decided to Facebook stalk her husband. Turns out he's married to three other women.
Oh, no.
Not kidding.
Is this in Utah?
No. Oh. No. South Carolina, he's been arrested for on bigamy charges because it is illegal in that state. Two South Carolina stories today, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it turns, you know, it's like, so the one woman is ticked.
Yeah.
I mean, what's bad? Your wife is mad, right?
She's
That's
mad.
Bad.
It's bad that she's got three other wives, too.
Well, what's worse than having your wife mad is having three wives at you.
Right. Wait till the mistress finds out.
Yeah, right. Evidently, he's been wedding girls since 1988, and out of the three that they know now, they think there might be more out there.
Wow. This guy's in a marrying mood, isn't he?
Yeah, it's and he's only 49 time. Years old. Can you believe that? Get out of here.
That's old.
No.
Hey, we love your comments. Email us, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at As We See It Show. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Our assistant in training is Nikki Lucius. Our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.